well,
our climbing kits have to go. They have to dry out, definitely. You can't just leave them, otherwise they stink.
Yeah,
do you remember
yeah.
like how your PE kit used to smell? Like, or the dirty PE kit bin in school.
Socks.
That's how it smelled. But, and also it just, yeah, they just, they're not as safe.
Welcome everybody, this is to the, what is it, will be the third Outside Crowd podcast. So delighted you're joining us, and first of all we've got our usual regulars. We've got Ryan from Royal Tunbridge Wells Landscapes.
Hello there, how are we doing?
We got Jake from Fairdeck.
Hello again.
And we got Billy from William Gordon Countryside Services.
Hello.
Right, it's been raining recently, as you might have realised, so, and that affects landscapers, tree surgeons and all others in the outside quite a bit, stopping work, leading to delays, reducing cash flow. So today we're going to have a bit of a chat about the different types of weather, if you don't know anything about weather.
That wet rain you were talking about.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And that, but more importantly, how it affects the works, what you can do and how we can do, sort of minimise the effect, and any other things that come to mind with this you know, good bunch of people. So first of all, we're going to talk a bit about the rain. So then, Ryan, tell us, what can you do and what can't you do if it starts to chuck it down with rain?
Well, I mean, what you can do and what you can't do. I mean, trying to lay slabs in a real heavy downpour is very, very difficult, you know. And it shouldn't be done in a heavy downpour. You know, once some slabs have been laid and they've been down for a good few hours curing, especially with the SBR, you know, in the warmer weather, you'd be a little bit better. But, you know, it does, you are thinking ahead, thinking, oh, can I lay that much today? Due to the fact, yes, it's going to rain, you know, what's it going to do to the work? So what we try and do is, I guess, use Mother Nature. So like today, there we know it's going to rain there tomorrow. It's quite a heavy downpour for you tree surgeons out there. What we've done, we've tidied everything up, got everything clean. So, you know, the driveway's clear, the job's clear. And, you know, so everything gets cleaned and washed away. We've already cleaned it today, but, we, you know, everything gets washed down by the heavy downpour. So
right.
You know,
do you use anything? Because I thought before you used to use like a canopy thing.
Yeah, we've got a 4.5 by 4.5. Four meter by four meter pop up gazebo. They're fantastic to use. They are fantastic. It does get you out of a bit of a, you know, out of a rut when it is, you know, bad weather. Or say brickwork, you know, anything like that you want to do undercover. So it is very handy, and they do. It's a pop up. The one we've got is very, very. It's the thicker size. I think it's a 50mm legs on it, so it is, you know, for what we need.
Does it have the sides on it? Or
yeah,
is it,
it does. You can have the choice of the sides. Yeah, so that's, you know, we can. It's nice because you have, you know, the back and the front on it, the two side, the both sides, left and right, open, and you can move it along.
And you have a picnic in it as well.
Well, that's right. I tell you, when you're standing there and you're trying to have a look at the plans and you're pulling them out and it's a bit of a windy day, having a wheelbarrow upside down, sitting on that, having a look at the plans helps out.
How about you, Jake? If you're work, if you're doing decking, does it affect the rain? Must still affect you, or is it because you're using that sort of
more tools,
decking? You can still carry on a bit.
Yeah, we can carry on when it's a clay. When the soil is a lot more clay, it can become a bit of a struggle digging the holes for the posts because, well, digging clay in the rain.
It's the mess.
It's bad.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's messy. God. It's claggy. But with the rain, we've got two gazebos. We put one up over the tools and we try and get one up where we think we're going to be working that day. With a deck, it's not quite the same as doing a large garden. You covered most of the area where you're working for that day anyway, and it's good, but a lot of the time it's having that motivation to actually get up and go when you're looking out the window and it is torrential.
Oh, you know it's coming in, yeah.
And you've just got to sort of just go. Get to work and then crack
just
on.
Just arrive. Yeah, once you turn up, you're alright.
I think it's the worst thing, looking at the weather forecast on your phone. You sort of pre-plan that you're going to have a bad one, but if you just don't look at it and just turn up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's never as bad as it says as well, you know. There's always that as well.
Yeah, you tried saying that a couple of days ago. It was actually chucking it down, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was tricky, but it's mainly keeping the tools dry because of the battery tools. They can get a bit
Oh, you want to look after them,
when they get wet.
I don't think electricity and water work, to be honest with you.
No, yeah. It's battery, but yeah.
How about you then, Bill? Does it affect you? I imagine the rain anyway.
It affects us. To be fair, yeah, it does. It does. It depends how bad it is as well. It definitely affects clear up times. If it's really wet, it takes us a long time to clear up, and then also we make more mess and, you know, just trudging around people's gardens like all day. I mean, like normally, especially if you're doing tree work, there's like a set route from the tree to the chipper, and you're walking along that all day, and then you just get this big track there.
Yeah. Do you put protection down for that, or is it just like...
We have done in the past, but that's normally for vehicles, but on foot yeah. We don't. It's probably something I should invest in, actually, but... To hire them, they're about a tenner a week.
Yeah, but the track mats you're talking about.
Yeah.
We use hardwood, like 9mm ply, because it's lighter, so we do it for turfing. So what we do is we get a sheet of ply, cut it down the middle, and then make two handle holds. You're holding 9mm hardwood sheet, so it's not that heavy, but then, you know, it withstands doing that. So for what you're doing, I guess the only thing is things getting caught in it. You know, like that's the only thing. But you know, if you got them and ripped them down to 600 sheets,
those track mats are good though because you can pin them down, can't you?
No, totally. Yeah, no, you are right. But like you said, they're very expensive, aren't they?
They are expensive, unless you buy. Well, I mean, they're expensive to buy, but they're probably quite a good investment. But yes, it does affect us like that. Also, things like if a tree's covered in moss and lichen, or sometimes algae, if you're climbing, it becomes really, really slippery.
Oh right.
I did when last Wednesday we did a job and it was hammering down, and I was climbing about this ash tree and it was so slippery and all my ropes were just covered in this algae moss and it became quite dangerous. But
do you have to add that to your risk assessment?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Like, I mean, inclement weather is always on our risk assessment. But if it's particularly inclement that day, then we will add that to the site specific risk assessment as opposed to the generic one that's there every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, you've got more chance of slipping over if you're a groundy. You've got more chance of letting go of things if you're a climber. So we have to put other things in place like rigging. So tying in branches as opposed to just holding on and throwing. There's lots of things you can do. But yeah, one, it slows us down. Two, it's another risk. And three, it's just not very nice to work in, is it, if it's hammering down.
Does it stop you at all? Does it get to the point where it gets so bad that you actually just stop?
But back in the day when we weren't as hardcore as we are now, I think if it was really wet, then we'd be like, oh, I think we're just going to, you know, call it today. But it's for example, if it's like December, you know, 29th or something, and it's smashing down with freezing cold rain all day, and you haven't had a break, you know, and you can continue on the next day, then we'd probably do that.
Right. Do you have do the boys wear different sort of clothing when it rains?
Yeah, we've got waterproofs.
Right.
We normally just put the top on, change the trousers. We don't ever really put anything over the top of them, but yeah. Excellent. We put on some weather gear.
What about you, Jake? Do your boys have wet weather gear?
We've got uniform and
was that dry weather uniform?
Yes, yeah, and waterproof jackets, but they're not that comfortable to work in. They're quite big and bulky.
Mm. We've got some jackets that are very, very good, but they're like soft shell, so it means that you can have for us it's moving around in them. If you have the moment you put a big jacket on that's waterproof, you know, and suddenly you're working away and the heat is getting to you. So you know, like temperature management, you know, when you're trying to work. Yeah. You know, throughout the day, and you want to make sure that you're working through a bit of a cold spell, you've got a jacket on, so you heat up too much, you know. So the soft shell that we've got, we're able to move in it as well. Well, that really helps, you know, because I'm sure like you guys, you've got your tool belt on, you've got to be able to, you know, move from side to side. I know some of the big heavier duty jackets, because, you know, the not so heavier duty ones, you know, they just get wet through, you know, there's just another jumper, you know, you're actually heavier. So you get the bigger jacket, heavy duty. They're just too hot sometimes. So.
Do you find it too hot pointing at people, telling them what to do?
I tell you what, look at it. You know, it's hard. It's hard to hold my hand up.
It's a strong-looking finger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? That's what I'm saying.
Well, what about, I'm going to say, like, if your equipment, do you have to keep that dry? I mean, does some of it just like not perform if it's going to get soaking wet? Are they pretty robust these days?
I mean, yeah, we try and keep it under cover.
That's the thing, you paid for it, right? You know, like you pay your giant, even whatever it is, if you leave it out, if you leave it outside, you know, in the rain, you, that tool for that client, you know, there's only so much you can put into the quote. You can't, you know, the maintenance and stuff on kit being outside is, you know,
yeah,
it's that's why the
DeWalt's quite good. Climbing kits have to go, they have to dry out, definitely. You can't just leave them. Otherwise they stink.
Yeah,
do you remember
yeah.
like how your PE kit used to smell? Like, or the dirty PE kit bin in school.
Socks.
That's how it smelled. But, and also it just, yeah, they just, they're not as safe.
How do you clean them?
What, his PE kit? Or?
My PE kit, yeah. How do you clean them?
Mm-hmm. How do you clean them?
How do I clean them? So, sometimes in the bath.
Oh, you went with them?
I actually have had a shower with my rope before.
So you just walk you just walk straight in the shower with it all on.
Yeah.
Some days where you
Or you can put them in the washing machine, but it does it like it, you know, if you don't want to be doing it too often because it's not good for them.
Mm.
And what? You want to wash it with water, you can use
slow spin cycle, right? Probably.
Yeah, you don't want it.
Yeah.
But you have to you can get special rope detergents and stuff like that, which are like the non-bio ones that you can use.
It's the ones you use, eh?
Non-bio rope detergent.
Yeah, I mean, it's non-biological, so it doesn't degrade the rope. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, fair enough.
What
about then if you go the other way around and it gets really frosty? Does that stop you working? So when it gets really cold, like, yeah, you imagine digging in the ground and...
Not so much digging the ground, it's the product, you know, we're land, sand, cement. So, you know, yes, there's admixture we can use as frost-proofer. But, you know, you want to be careful while laying outside. There's lots of... you know, there's lots of stories where you hear lads go out and they're laying, well, when they're doing concrete, you know, not covering the concrete. We use Hessian to cover everything at work if it is going to be frosty. Because we do have to, you know, I think it was last year, I think it was, we had a real cold spell and it's just stuck around for a long time and we were trying to point a project. So, you know, every garden around, as you can see, they had the sunlight. And do you know what? Our one never got the sun all day. So if it was heavy frost, it stayed for a long time. So once we had our window, having the systems in place to be able to do it in the weather. But yeah, frost does, yeah, definitely frost. How about you?
Are you, Jay? Frost affect what you do?
Yeah, definitely. With millboard as well, a lot of decking, composite decking especially, the temperature really, really makes a difference to the expansion joints you choose on that particular day. And with our winters, sometimes it's minus in the morning and it could be 10 to 15 degrees in the afternoon.
Right.
But when you've got a board that fluctuates, and you need to really keep an eye on it, because if you've put in 5 mil joins consistently through a deck, you'll find that they move at a different rate.
Right.
Because one, you may have put a 5 mil expansion join in at 15 degree, and the other one you put in at 2 degrees, and there will be a change.
Oh, right.
And you need to really consider that.
Yeah.
And also the top layer of millboard doesn't maneuver as well when it's really cold. You don't get the flex back over the screw like you would in the summer or the warm.
Right.
So we really try and work around it in the winter and pick and choose the right jobs on the right days.
Right.
Because then you can install it properly.
And how does millboard compare with other sort of like decking products using like during cold weather?
I mean, we prefer using it because it's limited on how far it moves.
Yeah.
You might get a 1 or 2 mil movement on its second cure, but you can actually butt the joins. We leave a 1 mil anyway, but with other products, you do have to leave 5 mil gaps. So millboard is the best for that. It is the Rolls Royce of decking.
Right. And that's not just a plug. That's generally what you think.
Yeah, genuinely, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Bill? If you get... Does frost affect you guys much if you're doing your work?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely on your hands, it slows things down. Loss of sensation, that sort of thing, that can slow you down. I have touched on it before, like if you're using cherry pickers, anything that has hydraulic, you know, uses hydraulic oil, it massively thickens up in the minus temperatures, so it can take a long time before you can actually get them up to operating temperature. But yeah, things like if you're climbing, it doesn't matter if you're wearing gloves or whatever, and you can't feel the end of your fingers, it's going to slow you down and can become dangerous as well.
I was going to say, when does it become too dangerous. Like when you don't think it if you can't feel your hands, and that's not really the best thing if you're climbing.
What you find is at the start of the day, it's like, you know, it's difficult, but once you start moving them around, it's actually okay. So it's just a case of starting, and then it gets better.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you're treading on frost-covered ground,
yes,
it looks terrible afterwards, doesn't it? Like, yeah, it kills grass off. You have those big black...
Yeah.
And so sometimes people can't be happy with that. So I normally just, like...
Do you call a job off because of the frost?
No, I haven't done yet. But I will always say to the customer, like, you know, what's going to happen?
Is frost worse than rain?
No.
Really? No.
Not in my experience. I just, you know, I just, it's so seldom frosty, really, here, is it? It's more rainy than it is...
Yeah, seem to get less frost nowadays, don't we?
Yeah.
So I suppose then it comes on to things like, imagine that the weather that really affects you is wind.
Wind is the big one. Yeah. Because there's like maximum gust speeds that you can go up in cherry pickers, and there's also climbing. Having said that, when I did my climbing qualification, it was probably like 45 mile an hour gusts and hammering down with rain. And they still said that we could do it. So I kind of base things on that sometimes, but it depends. If you've got obstacles underneath you, like there's outbuildings, sheds, that sort of thing, cars, vehicles, you know, it's not good. Because the tree's going one way, you're trying to cut the other way, it becomes quite dangerous. You can cause issues. And, you know, I've had it before. If you're taking the top of a tree out and you want it to go this way, the wind's going that way, you can have it, you know, the part you're cutting sit back on your chainsaw. Your chainsaw's stuck. You then got something that weighs half a ton above you and you're trying to move that. And you can put yourself in a bit of a tricky situation, but there's measures that you can put in place to overcome that, like tying a line in, again, rigging, and just having competent groundies that can give you advice, or you just call it off. That's obviously the safest thing to do, is just to call it off.
I was thinking about this. If a tree is pretty central in weight,
central,
yeah. And it's windy.
Yeah.
Could the wind force it to go back on itself and not the direction you want? So would you always rig it? Would you always put a winch on? Or
if are you talking about if I just fell it from the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can do, because if you think about it, especially in the summer, it's like a massive sail. So like you know there's all the force of that being pushed one way, but in the winter less so. But it can influence the way in which it travels. But I mean, it'd have to be some seriously high winds if you're felling it from the bottom. Mm. I mean, the weight of your sink cut's going to actually overcome the... But yeah, often we'll put a line in.
And that's the most dangerous type of weather for you guys, is it high winds?
I would say high winds, yeah.
And that's... Have you, come across many accidents and things that have happened because of that?
No. I mean, you know when to call it off.
Yeah.
And I have done several times. It's given us the most amount of days off, I'd say. Right. The most amount of yard days have been a result of really high winds.
Right. Mm.
And if you add that, normally the high winds are normally coupled with a lot of rain. So you have to deal with both of them.
Yeah. How about with you, Jake? Because wind is when you're down on the ground.
So holding them really dick balls down,
eh? Yeah. Yeah, so it's just keeping the gazebos on the ground.
Really. Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a couple of calls from customers. The neighbour's got a new gazebo. Your tools are wet, and then going around there at 10 o'clock at night,
trying to clear. Yeah.
Yeah, putting a gazebo back together and trying to save your tools.
Yeah,
it's not ideal, but we do weigh them down and pin them down. But a big gust sometimes.
But yeah,
does
but
wind, what he wants.
Wind's
yeah.
not really much of an issue for you guys. You can just carry on regardless.
Not really. No,
it was the same for you, Ryan. But didn't you had a gazebo? Didn't you? Didn't
Will go and let it? I was just about to say. I couldn't wait. Couldn't wait my turn there. Yeah, it's when you what we do is we tie them down and we put blocks on as well, because when it is windy, geez, they do go. So we put blocks down, and I said to the lad, I said, right, do us a favour. I said, get some blocks and start setting this up for tomorrow. I've got to go look at a project. He said, no worries. And in the morning, I got a picture from the client of my lovely gazebo up against this hedge that just been cut. And it had more holes in it. And I said, I rang him up, I said, where'd you get the blocks from? He went, what do you mean? I said, for the wall. Where'd you get blocks? They said they were just stacked up. I said, what, holding the gazebo down?
Oh.
I'll tell you what, the face When I saw him, he couldn't believe it. So yeah, no.
But the worst thing is those gazebos. They cost a lot of money, don't they? Not cheap.
No, the one I paid about £1,000 for them. The one I've got. I know. Wow. It's a lot of money. Yeah, it is. But the thing is, because it's, you know, bless it, it went against the edge. It didn't mean to. But you know, in a heyday, you know, they're perfect. They, you know, I don't know what ones you've got, but the pop up gazebos. I've went for the heavier duty one because of what we do. You know, it's 4 meters by 4 meters. So you know, you've got that square meter is underneath you. You can usually lay that much in a day, especially on the, you know, if that has to come out. To be honest with you, as well, the gazebos for us, they help in the. You know, in the sun, in the summer, because when we're pointing, you know, and we're trying to point, and you've got the beating sun coming down, we traditionally point. So, you know, having a product that's, you know, setting too quickly, going off too far, you know, and we have no control, but being able to point, you know, 15 square underneath, 16 odd square underneath a gazebo that day, you know, it does help. And especially, you know, especially the summers we've had, they've been so hot as well. And, you know, working outside and what we do, I mean, I can't imagine you in your chainsaw trousers in the summer. I was thinking that must be horrible as well.
Yeah, it's not nice. Unfortunately, we'd have to have a huge gazebo.
You'd not get shorts.
Yeah. And we normally, if we're cutting stuff, you know, we're cutting the shade out normally.
I mean, it's one of the things I was going to come on to, like the sun, because, I mean, it's something that's going to affect you, Ryan, and you, Jake, more than, I don't know.
No, it affects us massively. Yeah.
But I was thinking, you know, that's something we, you know, the sort of health and safety issues of it, because you guys are, you know, it's working hard. And
regular breaks, lots of drinks, making sure everyone's taking their breaks.
Well, for like 3 days a year.
It's not now, is it?
No, it's not. It's like sometimes really you have summer. Days and days and days of it just being really, really, really hot. And we've had that in the past, and you just have to, you know, you have to smash out as much as you can first thing in the morning while it's cooler.
Where have you been working, Jake?
Yeah, he's trying to think, isn't he? You go to Scotland.
You'll
be working up north a bit, where it's a bit cooler.
No, I mean, we don't get a lot of, well, before we know it, it's gone, isn't it?
Well, no, very true.
I'm right, miserable.
Well, no, mate.
I mean, you're over here.
I mean, coming from you.
I'm coming from you.
Easy, lads. Easy, lads.
Good night, my hill joke.
So do you always sort of like stop, or do you have regular breaks for the blokes to make sure that they can, you know, rehydrate? And do you let them work without their tops on?
I mean, that must be frightening. I really don't like it. I do make it very clear that I don't like them working with their tops off, because they've all got better bodies than me. I just don't think it looks as professional.
It doesn't. But it's just very hard.
I do understand when if a customer's not home and
you're around the back.
I won't tell people off for doing it, but they don't like it. They know that I don't like it.
It's hard because I've kind of always worked with a shirt off in the summer because it's just nice, you know, nice being in the sun. But, you know, we do, you know, we're standing in the row and we've got a big thing of sun cream, you know, everyone, right, that's it, over your hands, turn. Everyone to the back, turn around. It's the funniest thing, can't look out the window, look. Like,
Can I work with you?
You can work with me, you can do it. Doing the winter as well.
What about you, Bill? Do you keep your shirt on?
Tops off are an absolute no-go. Yeah.
Not with your trade, though.
No, even if we're just clearing up, I think it looks really crap.
I agree. I don't like my top off.
People have asked me if they can wear tank tops. I'm like, no, don't even like that. Vests. I hate vests.
Do you?
Yeah.
I can't imagine you wearing one. No,
I wouldn't wear one, but I don't like anyone else wearing them either. I just think they look crap.
I agree.
So things then, so I imagine the sun is quite a difficult one, because you've got to, you know, you've got to watch what the guys are doing, make sure they don't get dehydrated, everything like that. How do your suppliers perform in different types of, you know, weather? Are there times you think, oh God, it's raining, I know they ain't going to turn up, there's going to be a problem?
I don't think
are they generally pretty good?
I guess the only thing for me with that, the first thing that pops in my head is, you know, it's not like, I guess, material as well, it's... you know, Grabblory, you know, the guys that go green, that, you know, they, when they turn, that's why I like their drivers, because when it is wet, there's such a difference in a lad coming on with a grab and grabbing everything wet and just making the whole place a mess.
Yeah.
You know, so when it does rain, that's the thing. We try and get our dig out done, you know, muck away at the front, and sometimes you get caught in the rain, you know. What we do is actually overnight, we cover our muck away pile. Because, you know, it's done by weight, that, you know, we want to get as much on the lorry as possible. So we actually cover ours over a heavy downpour. But, you know, I guess that with suppliers, the only thing is you know, if it's so wet and the mud you make. But again, like I said, you know, the guys that go green, every driver from there was lovely.
Yeah, so. No, fair play, fair play. And one thing, I've sort of changing it slightly, if you know you've got sort of coming into periods of inclement weather or you're going into the winter season, do you boys change your pricing to reflect that? Because I imagine you're going to get more disruption, jobs are going to take longer. So do you price for a winter element, Jake?
In the past, I haven't, but it's definitely something recently I've noticed the winters again a lot wetter.
Yeah.
Like cold, we can deal with cold, but the rain is, it does add time on, but it's not the customer's fault that the job's taking slightly longer, but it's definitely an element we put into our quotes now. We might add an extra day, a fortnight, or just for that reason, but we wouldn't be adding anything substantial on because of it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, most of those things, isn't it? Like, if you've got inclement weather, it's not something, though, you can't charge the client for that. That's just like a neutral event which you take the risk for, isn't it? You price in and, you know, you've just got to stand by your price.
Yeah, because it's difficult doing what we do. Well, like you, and you said the last time, you know, you were like, well, it's kind of what we do is out of ground. And I guess the digging holds one bit, but, you know, as you said about landscaping yourself, we do so much. You know, outside it's very, very difficult.
We all should have just stayed in school.
They wouldn't let me stay in school. You mad?
I thought you went to school, didn't you?
Yeah, just about.
And what about one other thing I was going to ask? If you're you've got to stop for a period while you're on site, how do you keep the lads busy? What do you do? What do you guys get up to while you're waiting?
What, for the rain stop?
Yeah.
I mean, so we. I always say to the guys, like, we communicate about a smoke break. We have our lunch break at 10 and 1 o'clock, half an hour there each. But, like, you know, if we're like, look, it's going to rain at 11 or half 10. It's like, let's work until it rains, have something to eat. And, you know, so we kind of communicate about it, thinking, you know, and even if it's in the afternoon, it's like, would you like a quick cup of tea in the afternoon or a quick bite to eat? And then we'll crack on because it's going to piss with rain, at half 3. And you think, sure, look, you know, let's just kind of get set up for tomorrow.
What about you, Jake? Do you have a game of dominoes with the boys or something like that?
Well, we don't have set times with our breaks. We just, it's between us, we sort of stop, have a sandwich, a cup of tea, crack on. We don't stop for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
At a certain time. We do have quite good hours in the company, but the boys know that, and that was always a deal we made at the start. If we don't stop for a solid hour, we'll get going before the normal time. But we'll still stop and eat lunch and that. But usually if it's a downpour, we'll jump under the gazebo or in the van, eat our lunch. Just try and not waste
just
the time.
Just not waste the time and get back. How about you, Bill? Do you guys have any rituals when you're waiting for the weather to clear up?
Yeah. It depends what we're doing. It depends how far into the job we are as well. If we've got like an hour left and it's about to start smashing down in half an hour, we're going to just do our best to get cleared up and gone. But if it's right at the start of the day and we know there's like 20-minute downpour coming, we'll sit it out for a bit,
just have a
chat. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Makes sense. And we'll put all the tools away in as well so everything's not getting drenched. Makes sense.
Do you ever do any admin? Sometimes I sit in the van for 10 minutes and make a few calls.
Yeah.
Order the skip, stuff like that. Try and make the most of that time, not just sit there.
Definitely.
And not being productive, obviously you can't always sit on your laptop at work, but you can just make a few phone calls.
Yeah, do stuff on my phone,
It's handy.
I often do that.
It's handy. I'll try and do the run of material. It's like, right, you know, what can we clear? You know, like last week, it was a torrential downpour, and we said, right, let's go to the job and clear the job completely. We're just coming to the end of it. We had some pointing to do, but we cleared the whole project, and it absolutely opened up. And everything was just nice, crisp and clean. So that, you know, we try and use the time up as wide as we can.
Brilliant, brilliant. Right, okay, guys, that's rather wraps up our chat about the weather. I suppose we're always supposed to be a good nation of talking about the weather. So
Cues next week.
Covered quite a bit this time. But no, thanks very much indeed, guys. So that's thank you from Ryan.
See you next time, guys.
From Jake.
And see you next time.
And from Billy.
See you later.
And I'm from JB, and see you next time on the Outside Crowd podcast.